The focus of my research is supplemental lighting in greenhouses. So we all know that supplemental lighting can be used in greenhouses to improve plant growth, speed up crop cycles, do other cool things possibly. But lighting can be expensive. The electricity required for supplemental lighting can account for as much as 30% of the operating cost of a greenhouse, and the Department of Energy estimates that $600 million is spent annually on horticultural lighting in the United States. So what can we do to decrease this cost associated with supplemental lighting? One option is to provide lighting in a way that accounts for the photosynthetic light response. So this curve has the shape of a typical photosynthetic response to light intensity. The y-axis is electron transport rate, the rate of linear electron transport through photosystem 2, which basically gives us an indication of the rate of the light reactions of photosynthesis. Now, when photosynthetic photon flux density is very low, for a small increase in photosynthetic photon flux density, the rate of increase of electron transport rate is very high. But as PPFD increases, the rate of increase of electron transport rate decreases. And what this means is that light is used more efficiently to drive photochemistry when it's provided at lower intensities. In a greenhouse, this means that supplemental lighting will be used most efficiently when the overall PPFD from both the sunlight and the supplemental combined is relatively low. And so we can use this principle to decrease the total amount of light and therefore the total amount of electricity required to reach some sum of photosynthesis and presumably growth. Or if we say we want a fixed amount of light or electricity, we can use this principle to attempt to maximize growth. So in a greenhouse, we can accomplish this using an adaptive lighting system. So this system incorporates a dimmable LED fixture, a quantum sensor, and a data logger. The data logger reads the signal from the quantum sensor and controls the lights accordingly based on a predetermined threshold light intensity. So when there's ambient sunlight exceeding a threshold level, the lights are powered off. Weather conditions change, sunlight goes away, the lights are automatically energized up to a certain level. Okay, so to start this study, we did a preliminary investigation just into the photochemical response of the lettuce cultivar that we used, Little Jim. We grew a crop of 10 plants and measured it with a mini-pan fluorometer to determine the quantum yield of photosystem 2 and the photosynthetic photon flux density and calculate electron transport rate. Measured plants once every 15 minutes for 21 days. This is the response. It has the typical exponential shape, exponentially increasing shape. So the hypothesis for our main study is that providing the same amount of light at lower intensities by extending the photoperiod will improve lettuce growth. And that this may be due to an increased amount of photochemistry for the same amount of light when the photoperiod is extended. Quickly to define two terms, the daily light integral is the integral of PPFD over the course of a 24-hour period, and the daily photochemical integral is the integral of electron transport rate over a 24-hour period. Just to illustrate how this might work, here this rectangle represents the light distribution with a 12-hour day to reach a daily light integral of 17 moles per meter squared per day, which is the recommended daily light integral for hydroponic lettuce production in a greenhouse. If we provide a daily light integral of 17 moles using a light intensity of about 400 for 12 hours, the daily photochemical integral, based on the regression equation shown here, would be 4.67 moles of electrons moved through photosystem 2 per meter squared per day. Now, if we extend the photoperiod out to 16 hours and therefore provide the same sum of light over the course of a day at a lower intensity by stretching it out over a longer period of time, the daily photochemical integral increases to 4.93. And if we again extend the photoperiod to 20 hours using the same principle, the daily photochemical integral increases to 5.10. So, to conduct our study, we use little gem lettuce grown in 32-cell trays, the randomized complete block design with 5 blocks on up and flow benches, fertigated daily. Lighting treatments were started about 1 week after germination. There were 22 days of the supplemental lighting treatments total, and we used adaptive lighting control to provide the treatments. The treatments, we had 4 treatments, each with a daily light integral of 17 moles per meter square per day. But this was accomplished using 4 different photoperiods, the shortest being 12 hours, and then 15 hours, 18 hours, and 21 hours. And we had a control treatment where no supplemental lighting was provided, and the average daily light integral was 7.9 moles per meter square per day. So, to control the lighting, we measured the photosynthetic photon flux density once every 2 seconds with the adaptive lighting system, and we calculated a threshold for the adaptive lighting system in real time based on essentially how much light had already been received in the day and the target daily light integral of 17 moles. So, to calculate the threshold, once every 2 seconds, we take how much light we want total during the day, subtract how much we've gotten, divide it by the time remaining in the photoperiod. This is a picture of our setup in the greenhouse. No plants in it for this picture, but there's 5 total oven flow benches, and each bench is treated as a block with all 5 treatments randomized on the bench. During the experiment, we kept the quantum sensors at a constant height of 15 centimeters from the surface of the bench to the top of the light sensor, positioned them directly under the light bars. And so there's 1 fluorescent light bar providing light to each of these treatments. Environmental conditions in the greenhouse, an average relative humidity of about 57%, 24 degrees Celsius, and vapor pressure deficit of 1.4. What we measured at the end was the dry weight, leaf area, and by this I mean the area of individual leaves, using image analysis with ImageJ and the chlorophyll content index with an Apogee MC100. Our results. So the mean dry weight for the control is shown with this dotted line, and again, the control had an average daily light integral of 7.9 moles per meter square per day. The 12, 15, 18, and 21-hour photoperiod treatments, all with a daily light integral of 17 moles per meter square per day, for one, had much higher dry weights than the control. But we can also see that the dry weight increases non-linearly as we extend the photoperiod from 12 to 21 hours, and there was a 43% increase in dry weight from the 12 to the 21-hour photoperiod treatment. So some of the growth differences may be visible in this picture. On the left, we have an 18-hour photoperiod, and on the right, we have a 21-hour photoperiod growing side by side. The plants grown under the 21-hour photoperiod do appear to be larger. So to test the hypothesis that some of photosynthesis photochemistry over the course of the study affected dry weight, we used the PPFD data collected every 2 seconds during the study to calculate and integrate the electron transport rate based on the regression equation from the preliminary study. And we're reporting this as total electron transport. So it's similar to the daily photochemical integral, but it's for the entire study rather than for individual days. So dry weight as a function of total electron transport increases exponentially and was highly significant. This suggests that the increased efficiency of photosynthesis resulting from applying the same total amount of light each day at lower levels does influence the dry weight, and that the improved photochemical efficiency can help explain why the plants grown under longer photo periods have higher dry whites. But there, of course, are other possible effects of photo period that could be interacting with this or also affecting the dry whites, also affecting plant growth, plant morphology. So this picture on the right, you see a plant, you see a tray of plants growing under a longer photo period than the one on the left, and they did appear to be visibly greener. The plants grown under the longer photo periods also seem to have larger leaves, so we did quantify this. There was a significant increase in average size of individual leaves as the photo period was extended from 12 to 21 hours. There was also a significant linear increase in the chlorophyll content index as the photo period was extended. So these factors most likely contributed to the increase in growth as well as the improved photochemical efficiency. Increased leaf area allows for more light interception, and increased chlorophyll could also affect light use and interception. So in conclusion, providing the same daily light integral with longer photo periods results in greater amounts of photochemistry, increased leaf size, increased chlorophyll content, faster growth, and greater biomass, with a 43% increase in plant dry weight from the 12 to the 21-hour photo period treatment. And I'd like to thank our sponsors and everyone in the lab is in here, and we're going to take any questions. Go ahead.
Question on your experiment, on your design of the greenhouse. Did you experience any calcium deficiency or tip burns with those type of panels? How is your air moving managed?
So the question is, did we experience any tip burn or calcium deficiency, and how was our air movement managed? To answer the question, we did experience tip burn. It was variable by both treatment and block. I did not present that data here, but the longer photo period treatments did tend to have a greater incidence of tip burn. There was no management of air movement. They're in metal partitions. There was no consideration about managing air movement to possibly prevent tip burn, and we didn't do any kind of tissue mineral analysis. Yes. Was the question? Was the question? What was the texture of the leaves? The question was, what was the texture and the edible quality of the leaves grown under the different photo periods? Like, I did not eat any of the leaves. I did remove some in doing the. In acquiring the images for image analysis of leaf size, and there did not seem to be much of a difference. The 21-hour photo period, the longer photo period treatments simply had larger leaves that seemed to be about the same quality, except for being slightly darker since they had more chlorophyll. Yes? Yes, the comment was that high chlorophyll does not necessarily correlate to to growth, higher canopy growth, specifically because with lower chlorophyll contents in the upper canopy levels, more light can penetrate to lower levels. One comment on that, the shape of these romaine-type lettuces, there is no lower canopy, per se, except for a little bit of overlap in the leaves, because they have an upright head. But I would also like to add that in the case of lettuce, in my opinion, more chlorophyll means more nitrogen, which isn't necessarily advantageous to have more nitrogen in your finished lettuce crop. So it just means you're using more fertilizer.